Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. Today, I'm going to jump right into the news. The first story I have is an update on the Sun NetApp ZFS patent litigation, change of venue, and prior art. And this is a follow-up to my previous coverage of this topic, and it looks like Sun has provided an update to Matt Acey, which he's posted to his blog about the pending ZFS litigation. And this is a quote. As of Friday, December 14th, Sun has filed re-examination requests for three network appliance patents as part of its response to a lawsuit initially filed by Network Appliance against Sun on September 5th, 2007. This follows the agreement last month with Network Appliance to transfer Network Appliance's lawsuit from Texas and litigate it along with the case Sun filed in California. The motion to transfer was filed on November 21st, and the cases are now assigned to a mutually agreed-upon judge. With each company being headquartered in Northern California, and the majority of inventors and innovation in dispute originating in California, it makes sense for the case to be litigated in this jurisdiction. We are pleased that Network Appliance agreed to Sun's request and retracted its imprudent choice of venue for this litigation. Re-exams have been filed on the NetApp waffle patents that purportedly cover concepts such as copy-on-write, snapshot, and writable snapshot. There is a significant amount of prior art describing this technology that was not in front of the U.S. Patent Office when it first examined these patents. In just one example, the early innovation by Mendel Rosenblum and John Osterhout on log structured file systems, applauded in a NetApp blog as being inspirational to the founders, was not considered by the Patent Office in the examination of the NetApp patents. Sun is committed to protecting innovation and the open source community against this attack. The re-examination of three network appliance patents seeks to ensure the open source community continues to have access to technologies that network appliance did not invent. Sun is also in the process of identifying other network appliance patents to be re-examined. We continue to receive support from the open source community in terms of prior art and appreciate the community's response to protect innovation. We would like to thank those who have sent in relevant art that has been used in connection with the re-examination requests. End quote. Now, as of the time I'm recording this, I don't see any response from NetApp yet, but when that happens, I will post an additional update and cover that here on the podcast. It did seem odd that the suit was filed in the patent-friendly Texas jurisdictions, and that's actually the same jurisdictions that a lot of these patent troll cases, such as the Acacia one, are filed. So it's good to see it moved to California, where, as that said, both companies are located pretty close to each other in California. So it doesn't make sense to have in Texas anyway. The next story I have is a global open source census. And it's really an issue that has pretty much always been contentious when it comes to open source, and that is how do you accurately and definitively measure adoption and real usage? Due to the myriad ways that open source code can really be disseminated, the answer has historically been you can't, really. Now sure, you can use download metrics from the various mirrors and some educated guessing to come up with a decent approximation, but those are neither definitive or truly accurate, and they realistically probably almost always underestimate real adoption. Now, enter the open source census. And this is a quote from the open source census site. The Open Source Census is a global collaborative project to collect and share quantitative data on the use of open source software in the enterprise. In short, that means we want to count how many enterprise installations there are in the world for each open source software package. Results of the census will be shared on this website. We realize that's pretty ambitious, but we figure you have to think big. Of course, we know we can't count every single open source package in every single company, but we think we can get a big enough sample to make it representative. Here's how it works. Companies can use an open source software tool called OSS Discovery to automatically scan a sampling of machines in their organization. These scans will gather completely anonymous data on which open source packages and versions are installed. The scan results can then be submitted to a repository on the Open Source Consensus website. Scan contributors can review the actual results of the scans before they decide whether to contribute the data. Contributors will be asked to provide some limited demographic data to enhance reporting of the results. End quote. I should note here that this is being sponsored by OpenLogic, and the website in question is osscensus.org. Now, it is a lofty goal to be sure, and whether it gains any traction obviously remains to be seen, even if it does take off, it's aimed only at the enterprise, which is obviously going to skew results, especially as far as which projects are used and versions and things of that nature. But that being said, it's definitely better than nothing, and the information gleaned should be quite valuable to a lot of different groups of people. Additionally, the OSS Discovery tool itself should be a great way for an enterprise to track its open source usage. And like it said, you can use the tool without necessarily having to upload your data. So if you're using open source in an enterprise, I highly recommend you go to the site, and data collection looks to begin in Q1 2008, so real soon now. The next story I have is some Novell momentum. It looks like Novell might be quietly building up some momentum. First came news that Office Depot is consolidating onto the Celeste platform. And this is from a Linux Watch news release. Quote, in its latest significant victory, Novell announced that Office Depot has elected to consolidate its server infrastructure on SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 10 Service Pack 1. In the past, Office Depot, with offices in 43 countries, has used an eclectic collection of server operating systems. These include Solaris, Windows, IBM's mainframe operating system ZOS, i5 OS, the newest version of IBM's OS 400 mid-range computer operating system, and several different kinds of Linux. According to Novell, moving to Celeste on commodity hardware has already helped Office Depot reduce its hardware and power costs. End quote. Shortly after that announcement comes news that SAP is now recommending Novell's SUSE Linux as its preferred platform. Both announcements, I think, serve as good news for Novell, who may soon, the rumors go, be announcing additional layoffs, and that's despite this momentum. Novell recently reported a loss, and it had a delayed SEC filing there, but its Linux revenue is up almost 70%, which they claim largely is due to the somewhat debated Microsoft tickets. It's clear that the enterprise Linux market wants at least two solid vendors in play, and I've covered that a ton of times on this podcast. Red Hat seemingly has one of those spots locked up, at least for the mid-range future, if not for the long range. Now, Canonical is making an enterprise push with Ubuntu, so if Novell wants to hold on to its current number two position, it needs to take advantage of some of this traction that it seems to be getting. As usual, either way, all of this should be quite good for consumers. The next story I have is Bank of America downgrades Red Hat, cites trouble with JBoss. So following that news that Novell might be building some momentum, comes news that Bank of America has downgraded Red Hat. As is often the case with stock analysts, more are piling on this downgrade now. And here is a snippet from a recent Barron's article. Quote, Red Hat, RHT, shares are lower today after Bank of America analyst Kirk Matern cut his rating on the stock to neutral from buy. His price target goes to $21 from $23. He says the company's fiscal third quarter ended November should be solid, but that its JBoss application server software continues to have trouble gaining momentum. He adds that there are few catalysts on the horizon that could add to current billings and cash flow growth estimates for its fiscal year ending in February 2008, or, for that matter, fiscal year 2009. Meanwhile, Trip Chowdhury of Global Equity Research also downgraded the stock, moving to equal weight. Chowdhury contends that the company's business fundamentals are deteriorating and that the JBoss acquisition, quote-unquote, is a complete failure. Chowdhury also asserts that Red Hat Linux is gradually being relegated to positions of non-criticality. He also says Red Hat is losing momentum in the BRIC countries, and BRIC is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, to Microsoft and Oracle. He also says that hardware vendors IBM and Hewlett-Packard are providing support and bug fixes for Red Hat's Linux, since vendors feel Red Hat support is not enterprise class. Not least also, he says that developer momentum is shifting away from the open source LAMP software stack, which is Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP, Perl, Python, and toward Microsoft's .NET platform. End quote. I think it's almost unarguably true that Red Hat is having a little more difficulty than anticipating integrating and kind of assimilating JBoss into its not only its product stack, but its corporate culture. And the one thing that I don't know that a lot of non-open source people are clear on is that when you acquire an open source company, much of what you are acquiring is the people. And many of the top JBoss people have left. The cultures were different, the sales models were different, and quite a few things really were different. And I'd guess, given the information that Red Hat has now, they'd probably have done things a little bit differently in a variety of spots. But that being said, hindsight is always 20/20, and I think the long-term benefits for Red Hat and JBoss are still there. Now, moving on to the global equities research comments, I have no idea where Tripp is getting his information. All other leading indicators that I've seen seem to clearly point to the fact that Linux and open source are doing quite well in BRIC and really a bunch of the other emerging markets around the world. And in many of those markets, Microsoft is having huge difficulties gaining traction, or, and I know this is the case in a lot of the third world developing and emerging markets, they're gaining traction by discounting very, very heavily. In some cases, rumors have it up to like 90%. Now, additionally, more and more companies are clearly choosing Linux for absolute mission-critical applications, and the New York State Stock Exchange is just one of many, many recent examples of this. Now, finally, I think here, LAMP adoption in general has been seeing very strong growth, and that's not to say that .NET hasn't. And companies such as MySQL AB still seem headed toward an IPO, despite the weakening U.S. economy. I think that really just goes to show that some analysts can pretty much say whatever they want, typically with little to no justification or real repercussions. Although given the current U.S. Economic climate, it should be interesting to see how not only Red Hat, but other companies mentioned such as Oracle and Microsoft fare over the next 12 to 18 months. And of course, I will keep an eye on that for you. The last story I have is Chaos Report 5, the SMB market opportunity. And the 451 group recently released the fifth Commercial Adoption of Open Source, or Chaos, research report entitled The SMB Market Opportunity, How Big Are SMBs for Open Source? And the following is from the 451 group site. Quote, open source software is being widely adopted by large enterprises, but what about the much larger market of small and medium-sized businesses? Many vendors talk about SMB as the hot market, but how do open source vendors, open source enabled systems integrators, and other resellers and consultants actually break into this difficult market, which is heavily dominated by Microsoft and other proprietary vendors? Among SMBs, the prospect of converting free downloaders and open source users into paying customers is in many cases more daunting than it is with enterprises. Margins are limited, and reaching customers through sales and marketing or channels is an expensive proposition. Yet open source software has some of the key characteristics, free or low cost, easy accessibility, and freedom from vendor lock-in and license nightmares to draw significant SMB business. End quote. And I think it's pretty clear that currently commercial open source adoption is happening mostly in the enterprise, and this is the area where most companies are willing to trade money for things like convenience, stability, accountability. And that's not necessarily the case in SMBs who have less money to throw around. And while individual enterprises are huge, you know, obviously sometimes with hundreds of thousands of employees, in aggregate, the SMB market is actually much, much bigger. It's just that you're going 5 or 50 or 100 employees at a time. So while I think it's a logical progression that open source will move into the SMB market, in some cases at some point, the value proposition that they're going to need to offer in that market is much different than the one that they're going to need to offer in the enterprise market. That being said, and as the 451 quote pointed out, open source offers some very compelling benefits to the average small and medium business. Now, cracking into the SMB market is not going to be an easy task by any measure. And if the results from that report posted by Matt Acey on his blog are any indication, many commercial open source companies may not even attempt to enter this market for years. And this is a quote from Matt's blog taken from the 451 report. Some key findings from the report, which surveyed 50 plus open source vendors, 73.8% of open source vendors surveyed believe that small medium business revenue will account for less than 50% of total revenue, with wide disparity in how much the surveyed vendors feel will come from that market. Open source vendors are split on whether SMB will account for a significant increase in business in the future, 47.5% saying that it will, 34.4% saying that it won't. The overwhelming majority of open source vendors, 72.1%, are taking a direct approach to selling into the SMB market, despite citing lack of expertise, 36.1%, and lack of awareness of open source options, 24.6% as the key inhibitors to SMB adoption, end quote. And if you go over to my blog, I have a graph from the report and some more factual information if you're interested. Now, I interpret these results in a couple of ways. First, some current commercial open source products will just never be useful to the majority of SMBs. And I'm thinking here of companies like MuleSource. The product they offer is simply squarely aimed at enterprise adoption. Most mom-and-pop laundromats or pizzerias will just never need an enterprise service bus. Next, many younger commercial open source companies simply have their hands full with the higher margin enterprise sales. So they're not even looking at SMB yet and couldn't even if they wanted to because they're busier than they can keep up with just with the enterprise stuff. Now once that stabilizes, I see SMB as part of a natural maturation process that is going to happen. And it's easy to forget, I think, how early we really are on the curve of commercial open source adoption. There's just a ton in the way of adoption patterns, and especially business models, that have not been figured out yet. One thing does seem clear, however. It's not a matter of if in this case, it's just a matter of how and when. That's all I have for now. Thanks for listening.